Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो हरे कृष्ण विल रीड फ्रॉम श्रील प्रभुपाद नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन Preface, the Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which was written in Sanskrit by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He was the chief of the six Goswamis who were the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he first met Lord Chaitanya, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada was engaged as a minister in the Mohammedan government of Bengal. He and his brother Sanatan were then named Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik respectively, and they held responsible post in ministers of Nawab Hussain Shah. At that time, 500 years ago, the Hindu society was very rigid, and if a member of the Brahmana caste accepted the service of a Mohammedan ruler, he was at once rejected from Brahmana society. That was the position of the two brothers, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. They belonged to the highly situated Saraswat Brahman community, but they were ostracized due to their acceptance of ministerial post in the government of Hussain Shah. It is the grace of Lord Chaitanya that he accepted these two exalted personalities as his disciples and raised them to the position of Goswamis, the highest position of Brahmanical culture. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya accepted Srila Haridas Thakur as his disciple, although Haridas happened to be born of a Mohammedan family. And Lord Chaitanya later on made him the Acharya of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya's principle is universal. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna and is engaged in the service of the Lord is accepted as being in a higher position than a person born in the family of a Brahmana. That is the original principle accepted by all the Vedic literature, especially the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The principles of Lord Chaitanya's movement in educating and elevating everyone to the exalted post of the Goswamis is taught in the Nectar of Devotion. Hare Krishna. So we will try to study the Nectar of Devotion, and proper title this book as the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Srila Prabhupada titled this as Nectar of Devotion. When in the 1970s, when Prabhupada was compiling or translating Srimad Bhagavatam, along with that also, he decided to write this book, The Nectar of Devotion. And he explains that during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give so much importance to this book. In fact, after accepting initiation from Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would instruct all the initiated devotees to specially study the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that this book is so important that one should read it once, twice, thrice, many times. So that one can derive unlimited benefit of understanding the science of devotion. In fact, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even though it is compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami, made it very clear what is the purpose of this book. Still we find many, many acharyas in the line of Gaudiya Sampradaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas, has written two commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Separate commentaries. And Srila Rupa Goswami's nephew, that is Jiva Goswami, also wrote a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And one great disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, named Mukunda Das, he also wrote a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great acharya who preached Krishna consciousness according to time, place, circumstance, he compiled Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, taking two of the major books of Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Neelamani. He combined them and presented this book in a novel form. And he called it as a Jaiva Dharma, according to the modern context, how people can appreciate it. Very beautifully, in fact, it is explained that this is the genius of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, presenting very beautifully this book. And then what to speak of the traditional acharyas of Gaudiya Vaishnavism? Even many Western scholars have written commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, not according to the tradition of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But the point is, they were so attracted by this book, many, many big, big scholars have spoken something about this book. Therefore, even in the preface, Srila Prabhupada explains, he says, we see that in the modern world, the country like America has made so much of progress materially. There is so much of facility for enjoying sense gratification, but with all of these facilities, what they have created, Prabhupada writes in the preface, he says that this country has created frustrated and confused people, those who have turned into hippies. So therefore, we are urging all these hippies, those who are confused and frustrated people, to read this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And by reading this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, you will understand the principle of loving Krishna. And you will be freed from all the confusion. And Prabhupada concludes in the preface, saying that this book is specially meant for all the practitioners of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is specially meant for them, for the devotees. Just like we know in our society, Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of emphasis on distributing of the books. And then Prabhupada said one time to Giriraj Maharaj, if you distribute books to everybody, then you'll become happy. But if you read these books, then you'll happily stay in devotional service. Because staying is most important. If you don't stay, if you only distribute, then you'll not be there to distribute more books in the future. Therefore, staying happily in Krishna consciousness is very important. Only the knowledge, when we attain the knowledge, especially the acharyas like Rupa Goswami, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is nothing but compiling from so many different scriptures. He's taking out the essence. The cream of the all Vedic literature is given in this book. And when we understand and try to practice them, it becomes crystal clear. So let us try to study this book. In fact, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he met Roop and Sanatan Goswami at Ramkeli Gram, and by meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became so fascinated by the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his character. Instantly they developed attraction. And they renounced everything. And ultimately they came to Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Dev. And Lord Chaitanya separately instructed Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. He instructed Rupa Goswami at Dashashwamedha Ghat in Prayag for 10 days. And in Banaras, he instructed Sanatan Goswami, it is also called as Dashashwamedha Ghat, for 2 months. Within 10 days, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the essential principle of devotional service. He gave the cream to Rupa Goswami. And to Sanatan Goswami, it is explained, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the practice of devotional service, along with the philosophy also. Therefore, both the brothers, they compiled these two separate books. One is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which talks about the science of devotional service. And Sanatan Goswami compiled a book based upon the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called as Hari Bhakti Vilas, the practice of devotional service. So when Rupa Goswami heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu explained to him. He said, Rupa, that this whole ocean of devotional service is so vast. He said, I cannot explain everything to you. It is not possible. So I'll just take one drop of that ocean and explain to you. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, picking up that one drop, he spoke this to Rupa Goswami for 10 days. And based upon that one drop, Rupa Goswami has compiled his book called as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That Bindu became Sindhu. That one drop turned into ocean. It is an unlimited ocean. It is quite interesting to see in this book, if you read Nectar of Devotion, two introductions are given. One is called as preface, and next Prabhupada calls it as introduction. In fact, they are one and the same. Preface or introduction, they are one and the same. One introduction is given by Srila Prabhupada for his own book called Nectar of Devotion. And the second introduction is written by the author himself, Rupa Goswami. And in that introduction, Prabhupada also adds his, because it is a summary study, he also adds his words to blend it, Rupa Goswami's introduction and also his introduction. But the preface is directly the words of Srila Prabhupada. And in the preface of Nectar of Devotion, it talks about little history of the book, little history of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And Rupa Goswami explains, Srila Prabhupada explains, the primary subject matter of this book is to discuss Bhakti Ras, that is the mellow of devotional service, in contrast to the mundane Ras. In fact, it is explained that this whole book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it will never confuse you. Recently, we were discussing with Gopi Paranadhan Prabhu, one of the great scholars. If you read the Vedas, there is a guarantee that you'll be confused. What to speak of we being confused, he was explaining when Brahma first time read Vedic literature. He read the whole vast Vedic literature with his four heads. And what is he made of? Lord Brahma is made of pure intelligence. There is nothing but intelligence. Even with that intelligence, when he approached the Vedic scriptures, first time when he read the Vedic scriptures, his conclusion was that this book is talking about karma kand. You do this, then you'll get this result. If you perform this sacrifice, you'll go to heaven. If you don't act properly like this, you'll go to hell. So Brahmaji, with all of his intelligence, when he read that book, his understanding was, it is Karmakand. Then once again he read the book. Then the conclusion of his understanding was, Jnanakand. Neti neti, not this, not that, not this, not that, not this, not that. Ultimately even denying the absolute truth as a person. Merging into the Brahman effulgence. Only when he read third time the Vedic scripture, then he concluded that Vedic scripture, they direct us towards devotional service, bhakti. But this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu does not cause that confusion. Why? Because Srila Rupa Goswami has extracted all the essence of all the scriptures. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Tad Dharma Samstapakau Lokanam Hitakarinam Tribhuvane. It is explained by Srinivas Acharya. This Goswami, especially Rupa Goswami, who is considered as the Acharya of Gaudiya Sampradaya. Acharya of Gaudiya Sampradaya means all those who are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are called as Rupa Anugas, the followers of Rupa Goswami. Why? Because our literatures, Srila Prabhupada recommended all of his disciples to read at least these four books. In fact, these four books are sufficient, he said. One is Bhagavad Gita, second is Srimad Bhagavatam, third is Sri Ishopanishad, and fourth is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Bhagavad Gita talks about Krishna's identity. Who is Krishna? Who is God? And Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Krishna's activities. It is much deeper. One thing is that you may know God, but to know God's activities is much difficult. And then Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about God's mind. We cannot understand what's happening within our own mind. What to speak of understanding the mind of Krishna? It is very difficult. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is talking about Lord Krishna's mind. And Rupa Goswami has been glorified by all the Gaudiya Acharyas that Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale, that what is there in the mind of the Lord has been established in this world by Srila Rupa Goswami. In fact, during the Ratha Yatra festival, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in front of the Lord, he would sing some songs from Kavya Prakash. Now this Kavya Prakash is the mundane book which talks about rasas in the material world, a relationship between a young boy and young girl. And it was quite confusing and amusing for everybody to hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sing these songs in front of Lord Jagannath. And there was one particular song Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing about the meeting of lover and the beloved. And everybody would be confused. But when Rupa Goswami had come from Vrindavan to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard this song from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Dev. After hearing this song, he was not confused. He became gladdened, he became ecstatic. Immediately after hearing that song, he went back to the place where he was staying with Srila Haridas Thakur at Siddha Bakul, and spontaneously compiled one poem. In fact, it is explained that Rupa Goswami's handwriting were like, line of pearls. Very beautiful. If you go to Vrindavan, there is a institution right on the Krishna Balaram temple on that same road. And now also you can see the handwriting of Rupa Goswami if you go to that place, the Vrindavan Research Institute. And he compiled it and he stuck it on the roof of the hut of Srila Haridas Thakur. And when Mahaprabhu came back after his noonday duties, he took that script and he read it. He became so ecstatic, he became so happy reading that, He said, who has compiled it? And Sarup Damodar Goswami said, Mahaprabhu, this has been compiled by Rupa Goswami. It is explained why out of affection, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu slapped Rupa Goswami. Lovingly. Very lovingly he slapped and he made him sit on his lap. And then he asked Sarup Damodar Goswami, how is that this Rupa Goswami has come to know what is there in my mind? How is it possible? We see there are hundreds of commentaries on Bhagavad Gita which is about Krishna's identity and everybody is confused. By reading that Bhagavad Gita, rather than becoming enlightened, everybody becomes confused. And there are commentaries on Bhagavatam which try to refute the pastimes of the Lord. But here is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He is understanding the mind of God. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Deva himself was very surprised. And he asked this question to his secretary, Sarup Damodar Goswami, how is that? And then Sarup Damodar Goswami said, my dear Lord, he has become the recipient of your mercy. Otherwise, nobody can understand. Because you have bestowed your mercy to Rupa Goswami, therefore he is able to understand what is there in your mind. So, Rupa Goswami becomes a qualified person to translate, bring out the essence of all the scripture and compile. And his compilation, when we read under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada's purport, can never cause any confusion. It will only direct us towards the goal of this book, that is the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavat, the word rasa has been defined. Now we hear so many times in our classes, rasa, bhakti ras, madhurya ras, sakhya ras, vatsalya ras, dasya ras, shanta ras. But what is this rasa? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there is no English equivalent to this word rasa. You can try to come closer to this word in Sanskrit. He says rasa can be said as relationship. Rasa can also mean juice. And rasa, Srila Prabhupada most often defines as mellow. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the rasa can be defined in four characters. First thing is that it is beyond imagination. You can't imagine what it is. That is the first definition. Rasa means which is beyond our imagination. We cannot imagine it. Second is, it is heavy with wonder, adbhut. Again, something which you see but you can't understand. What do you say? You become mesmerized by it. It is wonderful, but you cannot explain it. That is the second definition. And third, you can experience in your heart, relished in the heart. You are relishing it, but you can't give any explanation. Then, to make it very clear how it is different, therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, he defines the difference between material ras and bhakti ras. Even in the material world, we see that people experience some kind of pleasure. Otherwise, nobody will work hard. Prabhupada explains, why a family man working so hard? What is the impetus for doing so many things? Somebody is doing nationalistic activities. Somebody is doing, you know, social services, just like during the Second World War. There was people from the Japanese Army, Japanese Air Force called kamikazes. Not one, not two, hundreds and thousands of such people. Young, 16 to 19 year old boys. They would take the pilot training for a few months. This kamikazes means those who are about to crash into enemy's camp, suicidal force. They knew that once I go there, that is the last time I am flying. I am going to crash on the enemy's camp, destroy myself and try to destroy them. What is that force which made them so determined to give up their body? Very rare. It is not that they are frustrated, therefore they are committing suicide. But there are some kind of impetus which was forcing them to do that. And Srila Prabhupada says that is the pleasure one derives. In dying they were deriving great pleasure. Wholeheartedly on their own, volunteer service. Just few months they would take training and they would bump into some part of the world, destroying the enemy camp. Or a family man working for his family members. What is that impetus? The pleasure which he derives from. But the difference is, all these pleasures are not shining with sattva guna. That is the most important one. One is, beyond imagination, we can't imagine also how they were committing suicide. It's very wonderful, relished in the heart, but the fourth one makes all the difference. What is that? It is filled with sattva guna shyness. In fact, it is beyond sattva guna, it is in the shuddha sattva platform, on the transcendental platform. And the mundane ras, Prabhupada explains, one may derive pleasure in doing something. But eventually it is seen that he always goes like an oscillation, back and forth, bhoga, tyaga, bhoga, tyaga. Prabhupada gives simple definition. A man works for 6 days a week, then on the 7th day, he retires from his work. That means tyaga. He does not derive continuous pleasure in his work. He needs to take a rest from his work. Once a week and then 2 months in a year, 1 month in a year, he has to get away from that work. This is bhoga tyaga. But one might say that even in the spiritual world we see, there are some devotees, those who are in the renounced order and those who are the grihasthas. Srila Prabhupada asked this question to his Guru Maharaj. He said, Prabhupada, what is this bhoga tyaga? We see Sanatan Goswami had renounced everything. But Ramanandra had not renounced everything. He had all the facilities to enjoy. What is the difference? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur answered this question to Prabhupada. He said, that is simple. You see this bhoga of Ramanandra Roy and you see this tyaga of Sanatan Goswami. But both are meant for Krishna. Therefore it is not mundane bhoga tyaga. And he gave the example. Just like in the traditional Indian society, when the husband would go out of hometown, the lady, the wife of the family, the husband, wife of the husband, when the husband is not there, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta giving this example, you could know by seeing her that the husband is not at the home. Simply by the way she would dress, you could come to know that, you know, the husband is not there, she would be simply dressed. No decoration, because all decoration is not for a public display, but it was only meant for satisfying the husband. So one could know that the husband is not at the place. And Prabhupada gave the example that you could see that, okay, she is married, she is not married, you know, she is widow or she is a prostitute. Everything can be seen by the way the woman would dress. And Prabhupada said, so when the husband is there, she is well decorated. When the husband is not there, she is not at all decorated. But everything is for husband. So similarly, bhoga or tyaga is all directed towards Krishna. Therefore, in devotional service, there is no bhoga or tyaga. It is all service. But in the material realm, because you are not satisfied with bhoga, therefore there is tyaga. But when you are not satisfied with tyaga, again come back to bhoga. One falls into this category of going back and forth, back and forth. But eventually, Srila Prabhupada explains, next. Even if you stick to the principle of bhoga, how long can you stick? Because everything is taken away at the time of death. Even your sukha is terminated when the body falls apart. That is called as chapala sukha, flickering happiness. But bhakti rasamrita sindhu is not like that. And then Srila Prabhupada defines bhakti. Just like everybody has the propensity to love someone, everybody has an impetus to do something for the nation, for the society, for the family member. Why? Because he's deriving satisfaction. But all these things are destroyed at the time of death. Therefore, it is not permanent. And in the next life, there is no guarantee that we will get a human form of life. But just see how precisely Rupa Goswami defines this book. Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Every word is very precise. Why not Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? It is explained that if you actually see the Sanskrit dictionary also, when you say bhakti, it is synonymous to Krishna. There cannot be bhakti to any demigods. Demigod is puja, but not bhakti. That you offer something to the demigod, you get the results. But bhakti is precisely used for serving Krishna. Therefore, there is no need to mention Krishna bhakti. It is bhakti means Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami only writes bhakti and rasa, as we explained. That is full of wonder. It is shining with sattva gun. It is experienced in the heart and beyond imagination. Therefore, bhakti rasa. And because it is connected with Krishna, and Prabhupada explains in the preface, whatever you do in devotional service, whatever you perform in devotional service, it is never, it doesn't diminish. It is everlasting. Neha vikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even little advancement in Krishna consciousness, very little devotional service. Many Puranic scriptures which talk about devotional service tell so many stories of the power of devotional service. It is explained in the Padma Puran, there was one thief. He had a big, he stole some lot of wealth. And when he was running, because somebody was chasing him, he ultimately entered into the Vishnu temple. And when he entered inside the Vishnu temple, because his feet was covered with soil, mud, when he was going inside the Garbhagriha to hide himself from being caught by the outsiders, he took his sole, the feet, and all the mud, he scraped it to the one of the staircase of the temple. And that staircase happened to be uneven, it was broken in the corner. And because he scraped that soil to the staircase, eventually that soil, the wet soil, became dry and it became very even step, so that when others could walk on it, they would not feel any discomfort. And because of that, he went to the Vaikuntha planet. Just see the power of devotional service. Very little devotional service, and that too, not consciously. It just happened on its own. But what was the benefit? He went back to the spiritual world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, this rasa, bhakti rasa, because it is ever existing, even little advancement can give us unlimited benefit. Therefore, it is amrita. Amrita means what? Just like in the heavenly planets, there is amrut. That is also called as rasa. And when you drink that amrut, as long as the demigods live, that long you can live. Therefore, it is called as amrut. Amrut ban gaya. There is no such thing as amrut, even if you drink amrut. One devotee was giving an example that nobody dies in the heavenly planet. How is it possible? Because heavenly planet is also part of Mrityuloka. There also there is a death. But how is that there is no death? Because they have drunk Amrita, therefore there is no death. He gave the example, just like in the heavenly planet there is no death, but you are pushed out of that place when you are about to die. Just like somebody sitting in this room, and you can say nobody dies in this room, because when you get that indication that somebody is about to die, you take out of this room. So that definition is precise, that nobody dies in this room. So similarly in the heavenly planets, nobody dies. But when the time is over, they are pushed out of that heavenly planet. Therefore, it is very risky thing to accept the proposal that heavenly planet there is no death. No, there is. Not in the planet, but just outside that planet. But with bhakti rasa, it is not like that. This amrita, what does it do? It takes you back to the spiritual realm. And why is it Sindhu? Why is it ocean? Rupa Goswami, why does he compare it to ocean? Because when you drown in this ocean of bhakti rasa, when you drown in this material ocean, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that everybody in this material world is suffering the miseries of birth, old age, disease and death. The material world is compared by the acharyas or by the scriptures, either a forest fire or unlimited material ocean. And it is very difficult to cross over. You are burning in the miseries of material existence, which is like blazing forest fire. Or second, you cannot cross over the material existence, the ocean of material existence. But when there are favorable breezes in the form of the scriptures, Krishna's instruction, what does it do? It carries you from this ocean, the material ocean, but there has to be some ocean beyond this ocean. Then it drops you to the other ocean, that is the ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And when you drown in that ocean, as much as you drown, as you go deeper into that ocean, if you go to this ocean and drown yourself, you suffocate and die. But this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is not like that. As much as you drown in this ocean, that much more you experience the Amritatva, the nectar. Therefore the Upanishads say, Amrutasya Putraha, that why are you looking pleasure in this world? Because this is not pleasurable. Amrutasya Putra means you are the made of that soil which is completely Amrita, immortality. So drown in that ocean. And therefore Rupa Goswami gives this explanation. He gives the title to this book as Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. And then Prabhupada thanks all of his disciples, especially one of his disciples, Jayanand Prabhu, for donating money for printing this book. And he requests all the disciples that please take all benefit. This book has been compiled only for the devotees, those who are practicing in Krishna consciousness, to understand what is real bhakti. That's how he concludes the preface of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Next. Now this introduction is of the book itself, given by Rupa Goswami. And introduction, Srila Rupa Goswami's introduction discusses three subject matter. Put on three. First is Mangalacharan, auspicious invocation. Second, the brief description of the book's content. What does it indicate? And then third is authoritative definition of pure devotional service. These are the three things which introduction is going to describe. Next. What does Mangalacharan contain? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Sai Mangalacharan Trivida Prakar, वस्तु निर्देश नमस्कार आशीर्वाद होय. दैट यूजुअली मंगलाचरण कंटेंट्स थ्री थिंग्स. व्हाट इज इट? फर्स्ट इज मंगलाचरण टॉक्स अबाउट द ऑब्जेक्टिव ऑफ द बुक, व्हाई द बुक हैज बीन रिटन. इफ दैट इज नॉट क्लैरिफाइड, इवन इफ यू रीड हंड्रेड्स ऑफ टाइम, यू विल नॉट गेट द प्रॉपर कंक्लूजन. देयरफॉर इन द वेरी बिगिनिंग ओनली रूप गोस्वामी डिफाइन्स व्हाट इज द ऑब्जेक्टिव ऑफ दिस बुक, सो दैट नोबडी कैन क्रिएट एनी कंफ्यूजन. सेकेंड, अलाउज ऑथर टू पे ओबेसेंसेस टू द आचार्यस, टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड, टू ऑल द डिवोटीज. नेक्स्ट, अलाउज द रीडर्स टू रिसीव द ब्लेसिंग्स. ही ऑफर्स ब्लेसिंग्स टू द डिवोटीज. These are the three things contained in Mangalacharan. Next. When the book is compiled, this is Kaviraj Goswami explains, and Prabhupada writes the commentary, that everybody is able to see it?
Yeah. Any book has to make its objective very clear.
First is Pratigya. Pratigya means solemn declaration. What is the reason or what is the content of the book? And second, the Hetu must be explained. Hetu means reason should be given. Again, Rupa Goswami explains, why does he write this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? That is explained in the book itself. And third, Udharan must be given, examples must be given. If you read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is nothing but compilation or taking from so many scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Pancharatra, and then Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, and from Hari Vamsha, so many scriptures Rupa Goswami is quoting, to make his objective very authentic. And then Upanaya, all the theme must be brought nearer to the original premise of the book. And the last Nigamam, that is giving quotation from the Vedanta Sutra, because Vedanta Sutra is the original books compiled by Vyasadev, and commentary on Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami, to compile this book, this is called as why the book has been written. This is how it is defined in Bhakti Rasamrita, in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Chaitanya Charitamrita. Next. Then Rupa Goswami defines pure devotional service. This we will not take now. Anyabilashita Shunyam ज्ञान कर्माद अनावृतम अनुकूलन कृष्णानुशीलनम भक्तिरुत्तमम. एंड देन अगेन ही रेफर्स फ्रॉम नदर स्क्रिप्चर, सर्वोपाधि विनिर्मुक्तम तत्परत्वेन निर्मलम ऋषिकेन ऋषिकेश सेवनम भक्तिरुत्तमम. दैट इज द सेकेंड ऑब्जेक्टिव ऑफ द इंट्रोडक्शन. ही इज गोइंग टू डिफाइन प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस, दैट वी विल डिस्कस इन अवर नेक्स्ट क्लास. नेक्स्ट, and then Rupa Goswami begins with offering Mangalacharan. Again, within this Mangalacharan also, he makes two objectives very clear. One is the object of the book. Akhila Rasamrita Murtihi Prashramara Ruchi Ruddha Taraka Palai Kalita Shama Lalito Radha Prayan Vidur Jayati. That here Rupa Goswami is offering obeisances to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, where we can have relationship with Lord Krishna in five primary ras and seven secondary ras. That will be defined by Rupa Goswami in this book. And then, while offering obeisances to Lord Krishna, there are names of the gopis, Taraka and Palai. Palika and Taraka, these are two gopis. They are not so close to Krishna, But Krishna, by his attraction, he subjugates them. Means they are attracted by Krishna. And then Rupa Goswami talks about Kalita Shama Lalito. Kalita means being absorbed. That Shama and Lalita are being absorbed by Krishna because their great devotion. Just see, there is a gradation. And the last one, Radha Prayan. Radha Prayan means he who has been attracted by the love of Radharani. It is one thing that one to be attracted to Krishna. That is the primary thing. Krishna is all attractive. Therefore, it is natural that one will be attracted to Krishna, or else Krishna's external energy. One has to be attracted. But the personification of Bhakti Srimati Radharani, what is her quality? Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully, Krishna means all attractive, but Bhakti means which attracts Krishna, and personification of that Bhakti is Srimati Radharani. So Radha Prayan Vidur Jayati, that Krishna is so much captivated by the love of Srimati Radharani. First, he subjugates Taraka and Palika. He absorbs Lalita and Shama and is attracted by Srimati Radharani's love. That is devotional service. One thing to be attracted by Krishna, but when we perform devotional service, Krishna is attracted by our bhakti. Even Krishna is subjugated. Therefore, bhakti involves a reciprocation of service between the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not one way. You render service to Krishna, and when your service is so prominent, pleasing to Krishna, then he renders service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead renders service to his devotees. One time Giriraj Maharaj was explaining that when Srila Prabhupada, he took this mission of glorifying Krishna everywhere, all over the world. He went around, just like one devotee, he prays to the Lord. One time in Tirupati, it is explained that one devotee was standing in a line, and some other was pulled out from the line, and he became very dissatisfied. And then he wrote a letter to Krishna. He said, "My dear Lord, you have become very arrogant. Because many rich people come and worship you, you don't care for your poor devotees. But we are the one," he was a sadhu, he said, "we are the one, we glorify you everywhere. Because we preach about you, therefore you exist." Now this is called as Virarasa. Rupa Goswami will speak this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That it is called as Nindaspada prayers. Prabodhananda Saraswati also has compiled such prayers. That apparently it appears that he is criticizing God, but in that criticism there is great affection and love. So this devotee is saying that, "My dear Lord, we come here to take darshan, but you don't give us time. But we go and preach. Because we preach about you, therefore you are very famous." He threw that letter. And sure enough, Krishna reciprocated. When he was standing in the cart of the Lord, the Utsav Murti of the Lord, it directly stopped right in front of that devotee to reciprocate. So Giriraj Maharaj explains that when Srila Prabhupada took his mission of spreading Krishna's glories in the western countries, nobody knew about Krishna. Hardly anybody knew. If you ask people, how many people accept that God exists? In the former Russia, nobody would raise their hands. Even if they would believe, you are not supposed to raise hands because it's a communist country. And then on top of that, if you ask them, how many believe that Krishna is God? They will ask, who is Krishna? That will be the next question. So Srila Prabhupada went around preaching the glories of Lord Krishna. And he writes, because he glorified Krishna so much, so Krishna took the task of glorifying his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada. So there was a competition. You glorify me, I will glorify you. Just see, therefore Krishna consciousness movement. And other so-called gurus will never write Krishna, they will write about their own mission. You may recollect so many missions are there. And all of those missions are named after the founders only. Krishna does not come, unfortunately. If you go to any such missions, huge deities of their guru, but Krishna is not there. But with Srila Prabhupada, it was not like that. He made it very clear, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has to be glorified. His devotional service should be performed. And because he performed that devotional service, he made Krishna glorified. Naturally, Krishna reciprocated. He glorified Srila Prabhupada. So this is how, by being a devotee of the Lord, Krishna is attracted by them. And Radharani is the personification of that, who attract Krishna also. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, in a very systematic way, he offers his Mangalacharan, he offers his obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who is attracting Taraka and Palika, who is subjugating Lalita and Shyama, and who has been attracted by Srimati Radharani. And along with that, he also makes it very clear what is the object of the book. That is Akhila Rasamrita Murtihi. Krishna is the object of the book. Devotional service is the object of the book. And devotional service to Krishna is the object of the book. In one verse, so many things are accomplished. Next. And then Rupa Goswami, this is how Mangalacharan is compiled. First you offer obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And next you offer obeisances to your Ishtadev. Your Prana, Prana Devata. When Rupa Goswami was also compiling other literature, he was reading that in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sarup Damodar, Ramanand Roy was asking him, okay, now you have compiled verse glorifying the Lord. Now you glorify your Ishtadev. And he was a little hesitant to glorify his Ishtadev because his Ishtadev was sitting right in front of him. And Ramanandra said, no, go on, don't worry, speak on. And Rupa Goswami compiled this verse. Anarpita charim chirata karunaya avataraneka kalo samarpaitam unnatto jolarasam so bhakti shriyaha Hari Purata Sundara Dyuti Kadamba Samandipita Sadarudaya Kandares Purato Vaha Sachinandana. When Lord Chaitanya heard it, that is the glorification of the Lord. May that Lord, known as Srimati Sachidevi, son of Srimati Sachidevi, transcendentally situated in the innermost chamber of our heart, who is resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, who has appeared in this age of Kali to bestow what no other incarnation has ever offered before. The most elevated love, the love of devotional service, the love of conjugal. So when Rupa Goswami compiled this, Mahaprabhu said, this is very bad. It is just like in Sri Karani, the mixture of the sugar candy, the honey and yogurt, it's a mixture of alkaline poison. And Ramanandra said, no, it is not alkaline poison, it is nectar. In this way, Rupa Goswami glorified his Ishtadev. So here, Rupa Goswami is glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Hridayasya Prerenaya Pravartito Varako Rupopi. That means, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inspired me, therefore out of his inspiration, Pravartito means, I am engaged in the duty of compiling this book. And Varaka means, Rupa Goswami is considering himself very insignificant and very low. And Jiva Goswami, as a disciple of Rupa Goswami, gives the different meaning for this Varaka. Varaka means incompetent, but Varaka also means competent. The same word has exactly opposite meaning. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Duryodhan was presenting to Dronacharya, the army of the Kauravas, the army of the Pandavas, he used a very diplomatic word. Of course, Rupa Goswami is not being diplomatic here. He said, paryaptam tad bhishma virakshitam. Paryaptam tad bhima virakshitam. Aparyaptam bhishma virakshitam. Because he was saying, Bhishma was also listening there, it has both the meaning. Paryapta means limited. Aparyapta means unlimited. But paryapta means also means sufficient. Aparyapta means not sufficient. Just see the words. Paryapta means limited, also sufficient. Both are exactly opposite meaning. Aparyapta means what? Unlimited and not sufficient. Exactly opposite meaning. So Duryodhan was also very diplomatic, using the word so that, you know, he wanted to say that Bhishma, even though our army is unlimited, but because Bhishma's affection to the Pandavas, it is not sufficient. So that Bhishma should understand as if it is unlimited, but others should understand it is not sufficient. So Rupa Goswami, of course, it is Krishna, under Yoga Maya potency, is making Rupa Goswami use this word. He is very clear that Varaka means I am incompetent. He does not have the another meaning. But Krishna has another meaning, and through Jiva Goswami is making it very clear. Varaka also means what? Very competent. Why is he very competent? Because of his humility. Because of his mood that I am not competent, therefore is competent. Therefore is explaining that I am compiling this book inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada explains, Ridhi Yasa means that Lord Chaitanya gave the knowledge to Rupa Goswami to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Rupa Goswami offers Mangalacharan to his spiritual master, his Ishtadev Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next. Then Rupa Goswami offers obeisances to his spiritual master, Sanatan Goswami. He explains that Vishrama Mandirataya Tasya Sanatana Tanur Mat Ishasya Bhakti Rasamrita Sindur Bhavato Sadayam Pramodaya. He says, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu may give all happiness to Sanatan Goswami. Why? Because he is the spiritual master. And the acharyas give two meanings of Sanatan. Sanatan also means the Lord who is residing on the milk ocean. He is lying on the milk ocean. Let him get all happiness by reading this book. And he is also offering obeisances to Sanatan Goswami, who is a spiritual master, who can receive all the benefit by reading this book. He become happy. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking to Pradyumna Prabhu. And he said, if you read the Goswami's literature, he said, all of them, they wrote this book, many, many books. And in the preface or in the introduction, they will write, whom does it offer to? To my friends, to my spiritual master. So Prabhupada writes that, they never thought that we are big, big preacher, our books are compiled so that it can be read all over the world. They were only interested in pleasing their friends and their spiritual master. When Rupa Goswami wrote this book, he was not writing with the intention that, you know, I will write, then it will be printed in the 21st century. It will be distributed widely. I will become very famous. Prabhupada says, he said that was not the intention. He was writing just to satisfy his spiritual master, Sanatan Goswami. That was the only intention. They just wrote. And for so many years, the books were lying in Vrindavan only. Only when Mother Janava, the wife of Nityananda Prabhu, decided that all these books should be read by all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on her order, the books were brought to Bengal first time by Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamanand Prabhu. That's how the books started becoming famous everywhere, all over the Gaudadesh and Utkal. But here, Rupa Goswami is only offering obeisances, offering this book to please Sanatan Goswami and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next. And then Rupa Goswami very beautifully protects his book. All the author wants to protect his book. And he compares devotees to shark. So very beautifully explained that why does he compare devotees to shark? And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the ocean. He gives three reasons why devotees are compared to shark. First reason is that the shark do not live in the lesser body of water. They don't live in the rivers. They only live in the ocean. And second, the sharks do not accept small lakes, or they don't accept the pleasure which are derived in the rivers. They only derive pleasure in the ocean. So Prabhupada says, the devotees also do not go for the material pleasures in this world. Why? Because they are drowning in the ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And third, sharks, because they are deep, in the deep waters of the ocean, the net of the fishermen cannot catch them. Only the small fish, they are making too much of sound, running back and forth, they are caught so easily. In the net of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. All this glittering civilization, who are practicing the glittering civilization, the external sense gratification, no, I will not die, I will enjoy sense gratification, they are caught in the net of birth, old age, disease and death. But the devotees of the Lord, those who are like shark, who are drowning in the vast ocean, they are never caught in the net of birth, old and death. Therefore, Rupa Goswami compared devotees to the shark. The last one, and we will stop today. And then, he wants to protect his book from the Mimamsakas. Mimamsakas are two kind. One is Purva Mimamsa and second is Uttara Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa deals with all the Karma Kanda section. Going to the heavenly planets, enjoying sense gratification there, performing this yajna, performing that yajna. It is also called as Karma Mimams. And Uttara Mimams is Jnana Mimams. Deals with the Vedanta Sutra, which only talks about impersonal Brahman. So this Mimamsakas, the Tarkik, the logicians, if they try to meddle with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, their meddling in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is like volcanic eruption in the vast ocean. If there is a volcanic eruption in the land, it may cause little harm. But when the volcanic eruption erupts in the vast ocean, what harm can it do? In the ocean, even if there is a volcanic eruption, it does not make any harm. So therefore he says that my book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is protected from this Mimamsakas. However much they try to meddle in the affair of this book, it can cause no problem. So therefore I am completely assured that nobody can meddle, nobody can comment wrongly on this book, so that the essence of this book is presented to the devotees. And then Rupa Goswami offers Ashirvad. One might wonder, how is that a devotee, one who thinks himself so low, can offer benediction to others? How is it possible? But Rupa Goswami offers benediction. He says, anyone who reads this book will be freed from the conception of impersonalism. And secondly, they will derive transcendental pleasure. How is that Rupa Goswami can offer Ashirvad to others? This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Goswami himself. He says, just like a low-class man can ignite fire, a low-class person who is born in a Pulinda family of origin, he may ignite the fire. But even though it has been ignited by the low-class person, it is still a fire. And in that fire, when you put a gold, what does it do? The gold becomes most cleansed. It becomes very pure. So similarly, Rupa Goswami says, even though this book has been compiled by the low-class person like me, Rupa Goswami, but still because it is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is just like a fire, the heart of the golden devotees, which have got some contamination, will be cleansed and they will illuminate like pure gold. Therefore, he is offering benediction. That even though I am low class, but because it is a book related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the golden like devotees will be benefited and their hearts will become very clean. This is how Rupa Goswami completes the Mangalacharan prayers. Offering of the obeisances and invoking auspicious Ashirvad of the Lord and then offering benediction to those who read this literature. So in the next class we will discuss about the third description of the introduction, That is the definition of pure devotional service. What is bhakti? How Rupa Goswami defines it? One verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, can be elaborated for one full class. So next class we will just concentrate on this definition of Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmad Anavritam Anukullena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We will take one or two questions for 5 minutes. Anybody has any question? Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki, Jai.